want to greet you and each one of you in the precious name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm a firm believer that if we permit God to put the service together, He will. And I believe He's already done that this morning with the songs that we were singing. And I've often wondered, how much do we think about the songs that we're singing, or our thoughts on the words that we're saying, whether it's a prayer, whether it's praise, whatever it is, do we really think about what we're singing? Because the song that we sang, "O for a Heart to Praise My God," number 458, says, "O for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me." And then in the last there, it says, "Come quickly from above." No, "Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart. Come quickly from above. Write thy new name upon my heart, the new best name of love." If we would take every single one of the verses of that song and believe it, and it's part of our life, then I can sit down. There would be no reason for me to share a message this morning. And then the last one we sang was, "Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove." You know, it says, "Over every thought and step preside." You know, to be our guardian, our guide. And before Jesus ascended, He told His disciples, "I'm going to send you a comforter. And that comforter is also going to be able to guide you into all truth." Do we believe that? A number of years ago, we were in Liberty, Kentucky, visiting our daughter, Tamisha. And fella came over to me and said, "We're going to be having a prayer at our church Saturday morning at 5 a.m. He said, "I was wondering if you would like to join us." And I said, "Sure, I'd love to." He said, "I'll pick you up at 4:45. And we get to, on the way there, he said, "The way we normally conduct this is we have just about a 10-minute devotional. And from one of the young men of the church, and then we have a time of prayer until about 7 o'clock. Okay? So the young man that shared, the title of his sharing was "Finish Well." So that's why I'm using that title this morning, because he went on to share his he went on to share his testimony of how he did not start out well. He said, "I accepted Christ a little bit." He said, "I wanted to make sure that I was going to go to heaven, but," he said, "I did not necessarily, I wanted him to be my Savior, but I didn't necessarily want him to be my Lord." And there's a difference. But he said, 3 weeks ago, God got a hold of my life, and he said, "I'm a changed person." He said, "I had 4 years of battling, and," he said, "I decided I wanted to finish well." And still brings tears to my eyes. So the burden of my heart this morning is that I have watched so many people start well, and today they are not doing well. Lots of them. And when I see young people that are struggling, as a young person during my struggles, I can remember them like they just happened yesterday, of how I felt back then. And so when I see some of the young people that are struggling with some of the same things that I had struggled back then, everything in me wants to come up beside them and say, "I want to fix it for you." But I can't. I can encourage you, but I can't fix it for you. That's something that has to come from within. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 19 through 23, it says, when one heareth the word of the king, this is Jesus explaining as to what the seeds of the sower, being the word of God, the different soils that they fell on or didn't fall on. It says, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the ground, good ground, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So as we read over those four different options there, my question to you would be, which one are you this morning? Is your heart fertile? You know, we say that God is the one that does the work in our hearts, and that is true, but there is a part that we play in all of it also. And it'd be nice if we could go through life just being able to look at it as a dress rehearsal that we're practicing, and we can figure this thing out, and at the end of life, we get to try it all over, do it all over again, because now I would do things differently. Wouldn't it be nice if we would be able to do that? But we don't. He gives us one opportunity. And so every day that we are living, we're either living for self or we're living for him. And some days it's a mix. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 reads like this, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So we think, okay, I need to endure to the end. I know some people follow the Kentucky Derby, which happened yesterday. There's only one horse that gets the prize, the main prize. But with us, all of us that finish get the prize. We just have to finish, and finish well. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 read like this, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Circumspectly means cautiously or carefully, with attention to potential consequences. We had been on a hike on the Appalachian Trail just for about 7 miles in, 7 miles back to the parking lot there. And on the way, we had just turned around and we're heading back. And we met two more people that were coming. And they said, just to give you a warning, we just saw two rattlesnakes crossing the trail up here. And we just wanted to give you a heads up. Well, I hate snakes. So it's the only time that I can tread air is when I see one. I was kind of hiking toward the front, but that changed my position when I heard that, and I was hiking more toward the rear. If I didn't have my hearing aids in, I wasn't going to be able to hear the rattles anyhow, and so I could probably step on it. But I walked circumspectly. I did not look around to see what everything else was looking like. I was looking at the ground, both sides, back and forth. I was walking very, very cautiously. And I was very relieved when we finally got to the parking lot or the parking area. I thought, whew. And then we were living in Colorado, and one of the customers was telling me how he was hiking the Appalachian Trail. And I said, well, I just did a very short section of it. And I said, I didn't care for it that much because we're told there's rattlesnakes there, and they had seen some. And so that kind of took the fun out of it for me. And he said, he was hiking on the Appalachian Trail, and he came to a place that he got to the area where he was going to be crossing 501 in Pennsylvania, and right away my alert came way up because that's where we were. And he said, where the trail crosses 501, he said, I came out, and just as I was ready to step out, he said, there was a rattlesnake less than 2 feet away from me, all coiled up, ready to strike. He said, I wasn't expecting a snake to be out there on the asphalt. He said, I froze. Now, this is the same parking lot that I felt comfortable in. And now he's telling me that there was a rattlesnake in this parking lot. I said, what do you do? He said, well, I knew better than to move. He said, I'm just going to wait this thing out and see what the snake does. Because he said, I couldn't be faster than the snake by any means. But he said, he couldn't believe it. Up the road comes a group of about 7 Harley-Davidson motorcycles, and they were climbing the hill there, and he said they were loud. And it disoriented the snake enough because of the rumble and also the noise that he said, it gave me the opportunity to jump back. He used the word curse at Harley-Davidson motorcycles that were loud like that, but he said, not anymore. He said, that was a real blessing. But he said, from that point on, he said, every place that I walked, and then he said, I was always mindful that just because I got to the parking lot doesn't mean that I'm not going to deal with a rattlesnake. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 reads like this, verse 12 through 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, we live in a time when people appreciate easy things. We like when things are just easy. We like going elevators rather than going the stairs. We prefer to go through the drive-thru at a restaurant rather or a fast food place than to go inside. And sometimes it's much faster. Companies are always looking for ways to make life easier, and we like it. We have lots of information available to us today, literally at our fingertips via our cell phones. So when I saw the email that Mel sent out about them doing away with their landline and getting cell phones, I'm like, oh, welcome. Going back to the testimony of the young man in Kentucky, he said, one thing that I had to get rid of was my cell phone. He said it was standing between me and living a life of victory. He said, to me, it was like cutting my right hand off or plucking my eye out, because he said, I lived on that thing. If you go flying and you're in the airport You watch people. What are they doing? Everybody's on their cell phones doing something. I've often wondered how much time is wasted in a year just in, I'm going to call it Lynchburg, because that's where we live, each year on cell phones that's not productive. And you know, each one of us has to stand before God to give an account of our life as to how we handled our time, because the time we walked through the door till now, that time is never going to be returned. It's done and it's gone forever. How do we look at time? When I think of what young people have to face today in comparison to what I did as a young person, to be honest with you, my heart goes out to you, because you have things that you have to deal with that we didn't. The temptations are the same, but you have it available in a capacity that we did not. I receive a magazine titled Avail. I don't know if any of you ever heard of that or not. It's one I had subscribed to for 1 year and then decided it's way too mainstream for me. It had to do with church life and all that. So I had discontinued it, but apparently they didn't feel like I should discontinue it, and they kept sending it whether I was paying for it or not. And the last issue that I received just last month caught my attention. And so maybe it was God just keep sending them so that I would get this issue. I don't know. But it was titled The AI Pastor. Thought interesting. And it goes on to share about all the technology available to pastors of the day that AI can help with, whether it's fundraising, whether it's sermon preparation, whether it's counseling, and it went down over the whole list of things that's available to the pastors today. Said sermon preparation that would take hours can now be done in minutes. All you have to do is put in the content, the subject matter that you want to share about, and it will automatically fill in the rest by going to commentary, other postings online. Even if you use your, like I use Sword Searcher for my platform when I'm printing things out, and you can embed it. It'll pull all your notes from there and all that type of thing, and so you can just have all this at your fingertips. So just think of all the extra time that you will have as a pastor to do whatever. But you won't have to spend it in sermon preparation. Now, I'm a firm believer that I can share up here this morning from just my head, or I can share this morning from my heart. And I trust that I'm sharing from my heart this morning. Because if I'm only sharing from my head, then it's going to go nowhere. But if I'm sharing from my heart, then our hearts can connect through the Holy Spirit giving that connection. So this article went on to say as to how you can ask questions to this AI pastor, and you can even have this AI pastor pray for you. Now, I guess my question would be, does God hear AI prayers? You know, I don't know. This is all new territory, isn't it? But it's what our young people are going to be facing, because, to be honest with you, I'm not too much of a techie person, but when I go on my cell phone and I do a Google search, the first thing that pops up is it says AI overview. That's the first thing that pops up. And I'm like, no, I'm not wanting AI. And I go on to do an email, and the copilot pops up and says, do you want help in composing this email? Well, sometimes I'll say yes, and it takes all the heart out of it and just puts in what I'm going to call head. And then I go back and delete it and start all over again. Bottom line is, there's a lot going to be coming at us as churches in the future that are going to try and just change what I'm going to call change the gospel. And I'm going to tell another little story. You know, when I read things, I don't always know as to whether they are factual or if somebody created the story. So this one I do not know to be factual. But it was a high school teacher that was preparing the junior high class on what to expect going into their senior year, because he said, you're going to have colleges that are going to be reaching your direction. And he said, and this was at a Christian high school. And so the teacher had a burden for those that were going to be going to college that they would choose wisely as to the college that they're going to be going to. He said, it's amazing as to how deceptive some of them can be. And so he said, what I'd like to do today, he said, I'm going to have a monitor here, and I have one here, and what I want, I'm going to put a color up here, and I'm going to put a color up here, and I want you to tell me what they are. And so he puts one up here, it's blue, bright blue. And they said, blue, good. He said, we got that one down. And so he puts up here, said, what color is this? And they said, green. He said, great. Now he said, every 30 seconds as I'm talking, one of these colors is going to pop up on a monitor, and I want you to tell me which one it is. And so blue, green, green, blue, you know, and all that. But after about the 10th time, the way he had it programmed was that the blue color would start to change ever so slightly to the green. Just ever so slightly. And after the 60-minute presentation, he said, and they popped it up, and they said, blue. And I said, wait a minute. And then he brings the other blue up, and he said, this is what you said was blue at the beginning. And they were like shocked. They didn't realize that it was changing to that degree. And it was almost halfway between the blue and the green by the time he was finished. He said, if I would have told you to be on the lookout for that, you would have been expecting it. But that's how Satan brings things to us, because it's ever so subtle. And I believe that we're going to see that as AI advances. I do not believe that AI is only going to be used for good. I believe Satan is also going to be looking for ways to trip up the Christian church, true believers, into believing things that may not necessarily be correct. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, to the church at Pergamos, Jesus said, there's two things that I have against you, and one of them is the doctrine of Balaam, and the other one would be the doctrine of the Nicolaitans or something like that? Which thing I hate. And what the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was basically that you could be a Christian and you could live your old life and still be okay. That God's okay with that. You can have both. Does that sound familiar in today's world? That sounds very familiar. I was told many a time, you have to become like the world to win the world. That's not scriptural. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, what is the will of God? I'd love to open it up this morning. If on the spot, what is the will of God? Is it something that we have to think about? Or is it something that it's right on the tip of our tongue? One of them is obedience. It's the will of God. But you know, none of this can happen. I need to back up just a little bit, because none of this can happen. None of us can live a Christian life unless we have truly accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If that didn't happen, then that needs to happen first. There's no power. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, but his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." So, am I going to be preaching sinless perfection this morning? No. I do believe that we have the flesh that we have to keep dealing with, just like Apostle Paul said that he has flesh. Now, in Romans chapter 6, it tells us about the dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, and rising with Christ. And then in Romans chapter 7, we read about this person where Paul's explaining that I want to do the good things, the right things, and I don't have the power to do it. And I don't want to do these things, and it's what I do. And kind of a life of defeat. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. And that's where a lot of people stop. But it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we have to have that Spirit within us. Now in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, that one I just read, I heard a pastor from South Africa that said a lot of people get tripped up on this verse because they automatically think that it's promoting sinless perfection. And he said he does believe that as we mature in our Christian walk, that we become more Christ-like all the time. And the one song that we sang this morning, in fact, the last one, would be that we want to have the heart of Christ. And he explained it this way. And so I'd like to ask you mothers, if you were up in the, I'm going to say, seventh story of a building, out on the balcony, and you have a one-year-old child in your hands, and you open railing there, and people down below, you look down there and you see them, and they say, "Hey, just hang the baby out over the railing, and when we say go, drop it." How many of your mothers would be willing to drop your child from the seventh story with the hope that somebody's going to catch it at the bottom? I hope there would be no one in here. Now, would you physically be able to do it? Yes, you would be able to take a child, hang it out over the railing, but you could not, and you physically could let go. But in your heart, you can't do it. So, cannot sin is basically like Joseph being tempted, but him saying, how could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So the cannot means that just because of God and Jesus Christ, I can't do it. I cannot do this. Is there hope for us? I want to take the last 10 minutes or so here and just say, God has put everything in place for us to live a victorious Christian life. It's all there. There's nothing wanting at all. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. John 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the power is there in Christ. John 15, verses 9 through 11, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Coming back to John chapter 16, verse 13, 14, and 15. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, for every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The power is there. And Paul claims it. Apostle Paul claims it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 22, it says that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father. And it says, many shall say to me that day. And you know, a message in itself would be, what does that mean? Who are they? Young people, specifically, even though this is for all of us, but you have time today because you aren't necessarily raising families. And so there's time that you have to be able to spend in God's Word. And coming back to the monitors that were up here with the different colors, the only way that we can know exactly as to what truth is in all of it is if we are well grounded in God's Word. And that doesn't come just by it laying on our desk or wherever. It comes by opening it up, spending time on our knees. I know there were years that I would have read just a few verses, considered it good, and then out the door for my day. It's only when we lay it before the Lord and open our Bibles up and ask him to guide us as to where we should be reading, what we should be reading, because I believe it's good to read through the Bible, but I believe specifically it's even better after we have read through the Bible a few times is to ask God to direct our minds to what we should be reading. And then open our Bibles and let him feed us. How many of you pray and ask for everything that you think, somebody's healing, meeting our needs, and you know, down over the whole list, and then as soon as we're finished, we get up and we're on our day or on our way? If I would share with my wife everything that's on my heart and never give her an opportunity for her to share what's on hers, I think she'd be pretty disappointed. God desires that we spend time there on our knees, letting Him speak to us. And that comes by quietening our hearts before Him. And it says that we should go to our closet to pray in Scripture. And I believe that's important for us to have that time without the distractions. And you say, well, I'm a busy mom. How in the world am I going to find that time? You might be able to squeak minutes out here and there. It's a time of life that we do go through. But I believe God carries us through those times. But our heart should be that we want to spend time in God's Word and learn it. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." We need to have God's Word impressed upon our hearts. Then, no matter what we face out in the world, whether it's trials, whether it's persecutions, whether it's temptations, no matter what it is, or AI manipulation, or just false teaching out there, if we're rooted and grounded in this, we don't ever have to worry about being deceived or fall. Everything's right here. We just need to press in. I know we find it difficult sometimes to be able to rightly divide our time. Social media requires a lot of input. Back when we were young, yes, I was young at one time, we would take pictures of things that we did, but we didn't create content. Where today, some of the stuff that you see, it's like, how stupid can somebody be to do something like that, to create content? But it's there. If we spend more time on social media than what we do in God's Word, that's not a good recipe. Let that one sink in. Or if we spend more time on our phones researching whatever, I love research, and it's one of the things that I have to guard against personally. If I spend more time researching whatever, than what I do in God's Word, there is just this slow death that takes place. I have to feed constantly, encouraging one another, being there for one another. When this young man there in Kentucky shared his heart and he said, "I want every brother here to know that I battle." And they gathered around him and prayed God's power on his life. I was never in a prayer meeting that they prayed as earnestly as what they did for that young man. But it touched my heart, and it made me realize that if I can be there for somebody else because of lessons that I've learned, I believe it was Milo that has used the view that we have as we age. It's almost like a 10,000-foot view. You know, we see things. We see people that had made decisions that you wondered how they're going to work, how it's going to work out, and now we've lived long enough to see the results of it. And we don't have a dress rehearsal. It's for real. So what we do with this time in our life, you know, in Hebrews, it talks there in the faith chapter, it talks about all those that went before us. And there are those that are going to come behind us, but now is our time. This is our time right now. And what are we going to do with it? Are we sold out for Christ? Is our pursuit Him? Or is it the world? Do we walk in the flesh or do we walk in the Spirit? If we walk in the flesh, we are not guided by the Spirit. And if the Spirit is guiding us, we do not walk in the flesh. Makes it totally clear. Are you walking in which one today? May the Lord bless.